and welcome to the first of hopefully many playoff edition True Blue blah, blah, True Blue LA podcast.
Playoffs.
I can't. I'm so excited. I can't even say the name of the blog and podcast correctly.
We're ready for game one. It's been four days layoff. From the regular season to now, and just kind of there's a lot of waiting, and now pretty much ready for baseball at this point. And then they play the latest game. There's four games today, and they're the latest game. So it's just there's a lot of like anticipation. So because just getting ready for this thing to start, you know.
What I think you and I probably discovered, along with a lot of other Dodger fans, is the only thing better than watching the Dodgers win is watching other teams beat the crap out of each other in close games that don't involve the Dodgers.
Right, exactly. And in another way, look, if you're gonna face an opponent, that you're just waiting on and you're watching them play a game, it's kind of important when they use their number one and number two starters in the same game, as the Diamondbacks did with the Robbie Ray. They used him in relief. The thing is, we'll probably find out today, and you know, depending on when this is released, it'll probably be later today. But the Robbie Ray probably still going to go in game two for the Diamondbacks. They kind of almost have to do that. He threw 34 pitches against the Rockies in relief on Wednesday. So, but I think, I don't want to oversimplify it because it was his throw day, but like pitching 2 1/3 innings in a game is not the same as a bullpen session. It's a lot more intensity, so it's tougher. So they're making sure he's going to be okay, but it sets up for them the best if Ray goes to game two and Greinke in game three, because they can use Ray in game five if they have to on regular rest. So like that's probably what's going to happen, but possibly maybe at a slightly diminished state, compared to, say, a full rest Robbie Ray, who is kind of nails against the Dodgers this year. So Dave Roberts earlier in the week said we haven't cracked the code of Robbie Ray this year. So that's an advantage. But, it's a matter of, sort of parlaying that advantage into results. And that's what these this weekend's about, basically.
So we're recording this at 10:15 Pacific. Rosters have been submitted. We do not have access to them, but I want to give you full power, Eric, to come through the tape wire, as it says, to interrupt me in the rudest fashion you can imagine, and just tell me what they are.
Sure.
Now that's can make guesses. Excuse me, educated guesses. Better than the last time we did this.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, we did the guessing last week. We know for sure that Hyunjin Ryu's off. He was either going to start or not be on the roster at all. And Alex Wood is the fourth starter. And honestly, rightfully so. He earned it, with his season and nothing against Ryu, but Wood was just better. Even with this sort of diminished second half, it's still better than Ryu. But it just came down to Ryu not being comfortable in relief. He's only made one relief appearance. It was earlier this year. It was a 4-inning save. And so he was either going to be a starter or not. He's basically going to be the extra guy if someone gets hurt. So they're going to keep him like throwing in side sessions. He threw in a simulated game yesterday. So if something were to happen to a rotation and the Dodgers advance and they need someone to fill in, then Ryu's going to be that guy. But for now, he's not going to be on the roster. So that's sort of where they stand right now.
I'm loading up my newswire in case I get to interrupt too. It would be very exciting. We're also aware from the last time you and I talked that Luis Avilon is probably not making the roster, correct?
Yeah, he's off. He's actually looked okay. He has shoulder inflammation, and it was not to the point where he had to take get a cortisone shot or anything like that. He's just taking anti-inflammatories. So he's thrown two simulated innings this week. So he's going to probably be available for the NLCS if they advance. So they could have three lefties in the pen. For now, it looks like they're only going to have two in Tony Watson and Tony Cingrani. It either opens up a spot or confirms what may have never went away, a spot for basically Pedro Baez on the roster after sort of his earlier September implosion. He's looked good in his last four outings. Seven strikeouts, no walks, obviously different situation and all. But, you know, Dave Roberts has been pretty staunchly in his corner all year. He kind of strayed from that after the game in Philadelphia where he was like, you know, for the first time Roberts was saying, like, look, we have to make sure we have our best 25. And that's usually code for there's no way this guy's on the roster. You know, they try to say it as diplomatically as possible. But I expect Baez to probably be on. But we'll see once the, you know, gets announced.
So we have a five-game series, first of three. You and I will be doing an episode every game or two, depending on availability. They're going to be much shorter episodes. We're not going to take questions. We might take questions like after the NLDS and NLCS. You'll notice I'm talking with confidence, and that's because I have it. I'm knocking on wood the whole time, though. Those of you who believe in jinxes, so
So I'll be driving. There's a possibility we could have our first car podcast because I'll be driving to Phoenix on Sunday morning. So that could be a possibility of you know, a record time. So who knows? But
audio quality will be through the roof.
There was like one other thing that I kind of forgot since we recorded. The Dodgers have a new player, Tim LoCastro, and like, you know, he's not like Terrence Gore fast, but like he's fast enough, and like he's a legitimately like, you know, good like hitter for a prospect. He was going to be probably added to the 40-man anyway in November, but they kind of called him out of the blue. His minor league season was over. He was literally painting his parents' basement in New York. Kind of his season was over for a couple of weeks, and the Dodgers called him and said, "Hey, what are you doing next week?" And they activated him for the final three games in Colorado, basically with the idea that if he makes the roster, he's going to be as a pinch runner. And that's still not exciting. I don't think he's going to make it. But his best shot to make it was probably going to be the NLDS because of the off days. They didn't necessarily need an extra reliever, an eighth reliever. But they might still do eight relievers. We'll see. But, and, you know, Dave Roberts obviously famously was a pinch runner in 2004 with the Red Sox, one of the more famous postseason steals ever, in game four of the ALCS against Mariano Rivera and the Yankees. So he's sort of knows that value well, but not sure if LoCastro is going to make it. But it was kind of an interesting little, you know, that was an unexpected transaction, the timing of it. And so even if he doesn't make the roster, it's kind of a cool little story. So we'll see. I didn't get a chance to talk to LoCastro yet, but I do want to ask him because he's been hit by a pitch. I believe it's 120 times in the last four seasons in the minors. So it's been kind of amazing. So I want to ask him about that because you know that's some crowding to play right there.
Hey, if it gets you on, lean into it.
Exactly.
So do you have a prediction for the series, Eric?
Pain, to quote Clever Lang.
No.
The Dodgers are, you know, they won 104 games. They didn't play well against the Diamondbacks the last two times they faced them. They lost all six. They were outscored 43-11. They're better than the Diamondbacks. It's a tough matchup. They have home field. They have the Diamondbacks rotation is not set up the way the Diamondbacks would prefer. They have Taijuan Walker going in game one. Not a bad pitcher, but not Zach Greinke, not Robbie Ray. Everything's lined up for the Dodgers, so they have to sort of take advantage of that. I think the Dodgers win the series in four. And for the first time, we get to see Clayton Kershaw in game one of an NLCS instead of you know, either push to game two because of his short rest start. That's the prevailing thought here. They've said it before, obviously, but Dave Roberts has been pretty adamant, like set in stone, not going to happen. No Clayton Kershaw on short rest. And so we'll see. But I think this year there's more truth to it than normal. So I think the Dodgers win this series in four. And I think they move on.
Dodgers in three.
Mm-hmm.
A little preview. I'm not going to say anything except that. Well, I'll say Dodgers in four for the next two, but I'm feeling it.
Here's the plus side of that. So I'm going to be in Phoenix on, you know, for 3 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then driving back Wednesday on that, which would be the off day between game four and game five, if it goes that far. But if let's say your scenario plays out and the Dodgers win game three on Monday, I'm still going to be in Phoenix. So The Arizona Fall League starts on Tuesday, so that'd be a nice little benefit of that. So I will get to see DJ Peters and Yuzneel Diaz, Will Smith, etc., play for the Glendale Desert Dogs. So that's sort of the silver lining, not silver lining because it's good news and good news, but it's sort of an added benefit if the Dodgers do sweep.
You and I have been doing our best to stall to see if we can get rosters announced.
Yeah.
Is this later than normal?
Yeah. So the deal is they're due
23 minutes ago.
Well, no, they're due to MLB, but we're not MLB. So they can announce it whenever the hell they want. Like, you know, so,
I feel like I'm Major League Baseball sometimes.
It's 10 a.m. in the city of the wherever game one is. So last year they played in Washington. I looked back. We got the email at 7:05 a.m. Pacific. So 5 minutes after it's 10:24 right now. We still haven't got the email, but we'll see. It'll come out at some point. But
maybe they overslept. Maybe the Dodgers are about to get disqualified. What happens if they don't send it by 10?
It's like a Minnesota Vikings draft situation where they just move to the next pick. Like,
Rockies suddenly.
You don't get to put Clayton Kershaw on the roster. So the prevailing thought, too, some of the interesting stuff from this week is we've been around Dodger Stadium for the last couple of days, just on work and doing workouts and, you know, simulated games and interviewing people. I from a fan standpoint, you don't like to say, you know, World Series or bust or whatever, but it kind of is, like, you know, like the players feel that way. And it's not to denigrate, to take anything away from this season winning 104 games, but look, their ultimate goal is winning the World Series. That's sort of the prevailing thought. It doesn't mean if they don't win the World Series that they're gonna blow it up, you know, or like all the, you know, massive overhaul or anything like that. But they're as well set up as they have been in a long time to like go all the way, and that's their ultimate goal. And I think if they don't at least get to the World Series, it's going to be a disappointment. But if they don't win it, I think they're going to be disappointed as well. So that I kind of wrote about that this morning. But Ethier said Andre Ethier had kind of the best quote about that. He said, they don't put banners up for winning five NOS titles in a row. So that was a fun little quote, but so there's a lot of pressure on the team, I think, but I think they're sort of they're leaning into it and then not shying away from it. So there's like it's kind of a nervous excitement, which is usually what the postseason brings. Like even in games where it's seemingly comfortable, there's always that pit in the bottom of your stomach that it's kind of hard to sit through or watch. But that's kind of what makes it fun, too. So it's as fun as it is to watch those games with the other games with no rooting interest. It's like multiply that by 1,000. And that's what you have when you actually have an interest in the game.
Going over my notes, I think the only other thing that I was a little surprised by, going against, I think, what maybe you and I expected when last time we recorded, or at least took a guess at the playoffs.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
Baez made it. Ross Stripling made it. Kyle Farmer made it.
There you go. That sounds really close to my roster, except for Baez instead of Avilon. Just pointing that out. Somebody thought Ryu was going to make it.
Yep.
So that's exciting. So it was what we started with. So nothing too drastic we need to talk about. Feels like a few other times when we've had these roster, we've actually have had surprises. Barnes last year, a few others the years before.
Yeah.
And then you and I had our historic every game three of an NLDS, you leaving saying no way is Kershaw starting. And then an hour after we record, he gets announced as the starter. So took a little bit of a break there to let Eric type up the post for those of you who need to read things immediately. Can't wait for our sultry voices. We're going to wrap this up. We want to keep these short. I wanted to talk about one more thing that in case we aren't able to get an episode between games one and two, which I'm guessing we're not. It's a Saturday. You're going to be busy. I'm going to be busy. When we were talking about rosters last time, we were expecting Yu Darvish to make the game two start. Rich Hill, after a really phenomenal September, is getting a nod instead. Is that surprising to you, shocking to you, only a mildly outside of expectations?
I guess the order of the rotation, not so much. I mean, it makes sense. Like when you look at it, like, Rich Hill has been pitching wonderfully in September. and like his like look, his career numbers at Coors and Chase Field are not good, but like he's only pitched like once at Coors Field in forever, so that's not a big deal. But the logic of it is, look, he's a big curveball guy. You don't want his numbers in Arizona are always terrible in spring training too. Like, so you don't want him pitching in high altitudes. It's less break on the curveball, less effective. He's better at home. Darvish is a little more comfortable either place, I guess. So that was sort of the logic behind that. But yeah, I think that's sort of what went into that. So yeah, Kershaw, Hill, and then Darvish and Alex Wood. And then as we talked about this, so Pedro Baez did make the roster. Ross Stripling also made the roster. Those were the two guys. I ended up predicting 23 out of 25. I believe Jacob had all 25 last week, so congrats on that. Kudos.
I think I haven't read. I'll listen again and correct you if I actually got two wrong.
Yeah. So, but my two were Luis Avalon, who's hurt, and Hyunjin Ryu. I had on. So then Stripling and Baez replaced those. Cal Farmer was the 13th position player. So they have 12 pitchers, 13 position players. So the roster's out. It's up now on the site. By the time you read this, it'll be up, and they'll probably have played a game. So we'll see. But yeah, so that's where we're at. So looking forward to game one. I think that'll do it. So thanks for listening. We'll try to get some short and sweet episodes up whenever we can during the postseason. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.